Sometimes we will see a newspaper headline in reference to some great natural disaster, and it will just say, acts of God. Sometimes situations will be described that are so horrific that people will say, it's just leaping out as if from the pages of the Bible, or it was a disaster of biblical proportions. The question that is naturally posed as a result of those kinds of stories, where was God? Where was God in the midst of this disaster? Where was God? Where is God when people are suffering because of the oppression of this or that tyrant? Where is God when people are suffering so badly? If God is all-loving and God is all-powerful, then why didn't God intervene in this disaster? Why didn't God prevent this from happening? The question is at the heart of the parable that Jesus tells today. These parables that attempt to address this question, because it clearly was a question even in the time of Jesus. When people think in categories, and I suspect that it wasn't just in the first century that people used to think in terms of good people and bad people, the people who are the wheat, the people who are the weeds, the darnel. We imagine the world sometimes in very black and white categories. But the first point of this parable is that the world isn't necessarily like that. The wheat and the weeds grow and intermingle. The wheat and the weeds are both present there in the midst of the field of the world. For those who have ears to hear, for those who have eyes to see, the call is to understand. As the great Russian poet said, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, that the line that divides good and evil does not run between peoples or ethnic groups or between nations. The line that divides good and evil is not decided by geography or ethnicity. The line that divides good and evil runs in the midst of every human heart. The wheat and the weeds will always be there. All three of the parables that Jesus tells today invite us to wait, invite us to experience something of the patience that is necessary for those who have eyes to see. We don't like waiting, though. Perhaps we're like not just the farmer, but the birds of the air who are waiting for this small seed to begin to grow, to become this large bush that the birds of the air can shelter in. Perhaps we're like the woman who's waiting for the yeast to do its work in these three measures of flour, to begin to affect the flour and to make it give birth to something even more wonderful than the yeast or the flour by itself. The invitation to wait can be very painful. The invitation to wait until God is present can seem like an agony that is too much to bear. But the invitation is there from the Lord to wait until that final day, to wait until we finally see the seeds that God has already planted deep inside every one of our hearts and lives. The mystery that Jesus is pointing to is a mystery of what we are capable of being. The final lines when he describes and explains this parable, not to the crowds. Once again, he waits until he comes back into the house, and it's just the disciples that are present when Jesus begins to explain the significance of this parable. When he begins to describe who all the various parts are, when he begins to identify that the one, the enemy, who planted the darnel in the midst of the wheat is not just some vague force of evil, but it is a person. It is the devil. That the reality of evil is not vague. The reality of evil is very concrete. The temptation of evil is very concrete. The image, of course, that he gives then is an image of judgment, an image of separation. That there are some whose hearts have become incapable of love, whose deeds are indeed manifested by offenses and by evil, and they will be gathered together and thrown onto this furnace. Not the image that we've probably taken from Dante and others in the medieval church of these very evocative and rich images of this judgment in hell, but an image of judgment, an image of that sense of the Lord's purification. The other image, of course, is the image of the righteous, and that is immensely beautiful and evocative. The image that he says of the wheat being able to grow to its full term is of the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What a difference the sun makes in a day. What a difference the sun makes in a day like today that's cloudy and overcast. And suddenly when the sun begins to break through, suddenly we begin to see the power of that at work. How much more is this the case in the Middle East, in the midst of a desert region, when the sun suddenly breaks through, when the sun rises in the morning, then we know that we need to find shelter, that we need to find a place where we can, you know, get protection from this overpowering reality. We're invited to be the very presence of God. That's what we were designed to be. That's what we were created to do, to be the very presence of God in the world, to be the reflectors of God's glory. And the image that Jesus uses is that if we open ourselves to his kingdom, if we become the children of the kingdom of heaven, then we will not just reflect some vague glory, but we will shine like the sun. We will be the very bearers of this mystery. We will be the ones who are able to be the sources of this light. Again, not some vague kind of light. The facets of the kingdom of heaven that we ourselves have been chosen to reveal and to shine forth are different for every one of us. All of us are called to shine forth different aspects of the creation of God. All of us are called to be bearers of this mystery of God in different ways. C.S. Lewis uses the image in his writings. He says that if only we could see every man, woman, and child as one day they will eventually be, then we will either quake away from their presence because it will be so horrible and so terrible to behold, or we will behold something so powerful and beautiful that we will be tempted to bow down in worship before them. My friends, they are the two choices that are presented to us. Will we become simply what we want to be? Will we build and fashion our lives according to our own purposes, according to our own will, according to the plans of Richard Healy? Or will I become a bearer of the glory of God? Will I become someone who allows the kingdom of heaven to so germinate within my life that my choices become one of God's choices? That I learn to live, I learn to love, I learn to forgive. I learn to be someone who is a bearer of the fruits of the kingdom of heaven. Will I choose to allow God's grace to burn away all that is not of God? Will I allow God's mercy to melt my heart to become the person that God has created me to be? If you looked at me to see what I truly was, would you quake in fear? Would you be so appalled by the hatred and the judgment and the bitterness of my heart? Or would you see something of the kingdom of heaven? Would you be able to quake in fear because of the beauty that you behold? Because through the mercy and grace of Christ, I've opened my heart to him. That is the two possibilities that exist in the kingdom of heaven. The choice is ours. Will we be and remain as the weeds in the world? Or will we allow God to fashion and shape us to be his wheat? Will we allow God's grace and glory to bring out from within the depths of who we are the graces and the gifts that God has created us to reflect? Will we be bearers of God's mystery? Will we reflect the very presence of God in our world? Or will we just choose to reflect our own glory? Will we just choose to become simply some terrible form, the absence of God's presence in our world? The gift, the choice is ours. Will we be the wheat or the weeds?